This is Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on News Radio, KFGO.
Second hour of Afternoons Live kicking off right now here on KFGO. I'm Tyler Axness, your host. Be within a 4 o'clock as I am each and every weekday here on KFGO. I got some messages in about my comments on the presidential race. I'll get back to those. I'm going to switch gears here, though, because we got a couple of guests in studio with AARP. Prescription drugs. We've talked about it before. It's a touchy subject because we all know that we could be doing better than what we currently are, and that causes a lot of emotions. Well, let's do something about it. And here to talk about what might be able to be done is, again, AARP. We got North Dakota State Director Josh Asfig. Josh, welcome back. Hey, been a while, man.
It has been a while, Tyler. It's good to see you, and thanks for having us on KFGO.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you were stuck in Fargo so we could do this in the studio and you weren't trapped
in Bismarck. We would have been here whether we were stuck or not.
Okay, that's the determination of AARP.
Absolutely.
We also have with us Megan O'Reilly with AARP's national office out of Washington, D.C. Megan, welcome to Fargo, North Dakota.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
What a perfect day to just dive you right into what North Dakota is like. 17 below, 40-some mile-an-hour gusts.
Her first trip out, we're giving her the full North Dakota experience.
I'm loving it.
Is that everything you heard, everything you expected when you knew you were coming to North Dakota?
Absolutely, and more.
There we go. Good. Happy to hear that. You guys are talking prescription drug prices. Just to bring this home for people that have regular listeners, we talked about insulin, for example. Mm-hmm. I know on Minnesota, for a few months ago, caravans going up to Canada because, you know what, it's cheaper up there. And you have Border Patrol saying, all right, well, if you have X amount or under, we'll let you go, no questions asked. That system is fundamentally wrong, and how we're having people go get life-necessary prescription medication. We all know that prescription drugs are too dang high. What's AARP proposing? What are we doing? Let's start nationally here, because I know North Dakota, Minnesota's got a legislative session, but nationally, what's going on?
So, Tyler, let me maybe put a couple of quick statistics around the issue to maybe help frame it up better, because we've all heard the stories, but let's really dig into the numbers. Here's facts, okay? Between 2012 and 2017, the average prescription drug treatment increased about 58%, 57.8%. During that same time, annual incomes for North Dakotans, when we were doing pretty well as a state, right, or a good number of people were, increased only 6.7%. If you're on the Minnesota side of the river, same time frame, same increase in the prescription drug treatment, 57.8%, your average annual income only went up about 8.3% over that same time. So you don't have to be a mathematician to understand that's unsustainable, right, over the long term. The other quick fact is we know from some research we've done that 31% of North Dakotans say they've stopped taking their prescriptions as prescribed because of cost, due to cost. 26% of Minnesotans have said they've stopped taking prescription drugs due to cost. And so it's not just the anecdotes. There's hard evidence here that prescription drugs have been a problem. And so AARP launched an effort last year, I think it was March, right,
March,
Megan?
Yep.
March, called Stop RX Greed, to really take a look at this and try and get our arms around it, and really working both on the federal level and the state level. And so Megan can talk about what we've been doing around the federal work so far.
And I want to go there, but I want to emphasize again, these are prescription drugs. This isn't just, hey, you know what, I got a headache, I want to go get some Tylenol over the counter. Oh, I can't afford to go buy the bottle. So 31% of us are saying no. These are doctor-prescribed drugs that are needed.
These are life-saving medications like Revlimid, which is a cancer drug for the approximately 60,000, over 60,000 North Dakota residents who've been diagnosed with cancer. Lantus, which treats diabetes for the approximately, again, about 60,000 North Dakota residents with prediabetes or diabetes. Yes, prescription drugs, not over-the-counter Advil, mm-hmm, not, over-the-counter medicines, drugs prescribed by a doctor.
Megan, so Josh brought up the Stop RX Greed. You're out of D.C. Let's start there, and then we'll break down maybe what some states need to do, including Minnesota. That's legislative session started just 2 days ago, or yesterday. It's Wednesday.
Yesterday.
Isn't it?
It's only yesterday. Wednesday.
Boy, I did some scheduling wrong last night. I need to revisit. So, Megan, what's being done federally to really combat this? Because it seems like this isn't just something that an individual's got a lot of control over right now.
Yeah, no, exactly. So when AARP launched our Stop RX Greed last year, we set forth some principles policy goals at the federal level that we wanted to see Congress act on. One, how do you lower drug prices? And two, and out-of-pocket costs. So we have been pushing Congress to look both at the price side, because everything that you see in the system comes from that price that the drug company set. And two, how do we alleviate these high out-of-pocket costs that we're seeing folks struggling to afford? So currently there's actually two bills. There's a House bill and a Senate bill that accomplish both of the goals that AARP set forth when we launched our campaign. In the Senate, there's a bill that passed out of the Senate Finance Committee. Chairman Grassley is the lead sponsor with a Democrat, Ron Wyden, out of Oregon. And what this bill would do is a number of things. First, it really looks at those skyrocketing increases that we've seen year after year and put some downward pressure on those, right? Because the brokenness of the system today is that there's nothing to tell a drug company put any pressure on those prices that they're setting or those increases that they're adding on year after year when there's no change to the drug. So this bill includes an inflation-based rebate, which basically would say, drug company, if you set your price higher than the rate of inflation, if you increase that year after year, you're going to have to pay a rebate back. And second, it also includes an out-of-pocket cap in the Medicare Part D program. Currently, a beneficiary can pay, has no limit on how much they have to pay for prescription drugs year after year, and that resets. So this bill both accomplishes that through the inflation-based rebate and the out-of-pocket cap. The House actually passed a bill back in December that also has these policies in it. In addition, the House bill included would allow Medicare to negotiate. So I think the main message I want to send here is that we have Congress acting on a bipartisan basis. There are real proposals on the table, and AARP is pushing hard to see something happen. We've got a May deadline that we're working towards, and I think we're at a real opportunity here to get something meaningful done.
Megan, you mentioned that when it comes to there's no downward pressure on the cost. Do these pharmaceutical companies give a reason as to why costs are going up? I mean, are they just saying, well, it's research, it's advertising? What's the reason why you're seeing a 58% increase from 2012 to 2017 on these costs?
So I would say two things there. I mean, I think one, the responses we've heard from the industry is that they wouldn't be able to innovate if they didn't have the prices that they set. But when you look at the data, what we know is about 80% of what drug companies spend is on things other than research and development. So we know that they're spending billions of dollars on lobbying. They're spending billions of dollars on television ads, which I know we all see on a regular basis. And so I think the other thing we have been advocating for is greater transparency in this space, because frankly, a lot of the information about what's being spent and where, we don't have that information. So in addition to these solutions on the price and the cost side, we're also seeing this is a market where we need to have greater transparency. And so that's something that we're looking at both at the federal and the state level.
Well, and I applaud you for that. And I think we can all acknowledge that it's not going to be an easy task, because you mentioned the lobbying arm, and it's been, quite frankly, very effective, again, on the federal and on the state side. So you have a May deadline. You said, I want to wrap up federal, and then I want to keep you guys running, so I want to talk about state, North Dakota, Minnesota as well. May deadline because there's crossover stuff going on. Why May?
Yeah, so what they have in May is there's sort of what's known as sort of this must-pass package of healthcare extender bills. So this is some programs that they revisit and they have to fund by the funding ends in May. So that is sort of seen as the opportunity to look at comprehensive drug reform. And I do think, too, you know, elected officials, as we all are experiencing these stories, everyone, these members of Congress are going home and talking to their constituents, and this is really a grassroots issue, and they're hearing from it every time they go home. And so I do think that it's that sense of urgency when we look at this May deadline where we could possibly get something done.
Well, and on the bipartisan side, and this was particular to insulin, if I recall, and it gets back to the scenario I brought up. You have a Republican and Senator Kevin Cramer in North Dakota and a Democrat Tina Smith in Minnesota working on the insulin issue.
Right.
I assume because they're focusing on that, there would also be supportive of exactly what you're laying out as well.
We've heard Senator Cramer has spoken in favor of the bipartisan Senate package. We've had heard encouraging comments from Senator Hoeven after the State of the Union. He mentioned working on prescription drug prices. We know President Trump has said that's a priority for him in the State of the Union package. And so, but we have heard, to put a finer point on what Megan said, from North Dakotans continually heard this issue of prescription drug prices coming up and continuing to encourage them to reach out to our federal delegation to say, we need to get this done now. We can't wait for the next round of negotiations, the next part.
Well, that's why that deadline of saying, look, you got to get it done by May or start all over. And we don't have time for that for people that, quite frankly, are getting an increase in pay of 7% and costs are going up 60%. AARP is in studio. We're going to be back with them in just a minute. Josh Asfig, State Director of North Dakota. Megan O'Reilly with the National Office out of D.C. When we come back, let's talk about states. You got North Dakota. There's some particulars there, but Minnesota, your legislative session started yesterday. What can some states do? We'll talk about it next. I'm Tyler Axis. You got it locked in Afternoons Live. Stick around.
Back to Afternoons Live, News Radio KFGO.
Got about 9 minutes with my guests from AARP, Josh Asfig, North Dakota State Director, and Megan O'Reilly with the AARP National Office, talking about how dang high the prescription drug prices are. Josh, you're with North Dakota, so I don't know if you have much input. I want to start in Minnesota because their session started yesterday. So I'll throw this out, and if Megan's got to take it, so be it. But what can the states do? I know we talk federally because there's a lot more weight with the federal government when it comes to Medicare that could be used. Mm-hmm. What can states be doing to lower prescription drugs?
I think your point is spot on, Tyler, which is I think the federal government needs to act, and we talked about the federal bills out there and what needs to happen. In addition, states can do something, and I want to give a shout-out to my colleague in Minnesota, State Director Will Phillips. He was kind enough to have Aaron Parrish on his advocacy director send me the work they're doing. As you know, their legislative session kicked off yesterday. They really kind of are focusing on a package of bills. The first one that kind of leads it off is they're working on trying to put together an accountability board, or it's an independent body that's going to evaluate drug prices and look at setting rates with upper payment limits. And it essentially is aiming to protect consumers from exorbitant pricing, right? And from being priced out of health or being priced out of their prescription drugs. And they're based on the precedent of healthcare rate setting that already exists in many states and state regulation of public utilities, a similar type of concept as part of it. So there's that piece of it. There's a second bill that's related called the end price gouging. It essentially is trying to prevent what they're defining as unconscionable pricing. So it empowers the Minnesota Attorney General to take civil action for up to a $25,000 per violation penalty against drug manufacturers and wholesale distributors who charge what they define as unconscionable prices. Unconscionable price means a price not reasonably justified by the cost of inventing, producing, selling, or distributing the drugs, and purchasers have no meaningful choice. So back to the federal side of it, where there's no competitor, they don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. They can't just set the rate at whatever. It needs to be based on what the research it was, what it cost them to produce it, sell it, and distribute it. And then the third one that they're really going after is requiring price transparency. They're really trying to get at the root of from when it leaves the manufacturer to you pick it up at the counter. Why is it, Tyler, if you, Megan, and I had the same prescription from the same doctor, but maybe we each have a little bit different insurance plan or different setup that you might pay one price, I'd pay another price, and Megan would pay another price. And it's because there's a whole series of things that happen in the chain from when it leaves the manufacturer to the counter that really nobody truly can get a grasp of. It's kind of a shadow system, and trying to shed some light on that, which will help folks understand what is behind prescription drug prices, what is driving those costs. Is it the manufacturer setting it too high? Is it the pharmacy benefit managers in between? Is it the insurance company? Is it who, you know, where is the price points happening?
Well, because I mean, right now it's almost like somebody went into a dark room, threw a dart at a board, and said, all right, here's what you're paying today, $35 per pill.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully that transparency does shine a light. Hopefully it gets enacted.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's all an uphill battle. I'm going to say that again. I'll talk more about it because there's a strong lobby on the other side. We've seen it in action in North Dakota. Megan, I'll throw this question to you because when I think about some of this, and I know Josh just mentioned the consumer side, when we talk about consumers and the weight of what states can do, can they have control over just a private consumer, or is it, well, you know what, if your prescription's through your Medicaid services, for example, is there any barriers that would prevent my producer Eric on private insurance to go benefit from some of these changes?
So, I mean, I think a lot of what we're talking about sort of on the federal side, I would say, is more focused on the Medicare piece because, you know, Medicare is the largest purchaser. And so with that comes a lot of power. And so, but what Medicare can do, that will trickle into other parts of the market.
Okay.
And so what we've seen, for example, I mean, we started this new year in January and drug companies raised the prices on over 500 drugs, 72%, which did not have a competitor. So when you look at Medicare absorbing all that cost, this is a consumer issue, but it's also from a program perspective and people, you know, depending on their Medicare, it's also harmful for the program.
Well, and I want to point out, or at least this is what I saw during my time in the legislature in North Dakota. Some of these, you say there's no competitor, no competition. That's by design through the law and which prohibits competition. So maybe we can look at some of that stuff. So, that's down the road probably.
So we talked a little bit about on the Minnesota side of the river, Tyler, those bills. They also have a couple of bills they're watching on insulin. They're also expecting an importation bill to be introduced to allow the importation of drugs from Canada, assuring the appropriate safety measures are met and all those things. On the North Dakota side, Representative Kaiser is leading the interim healthcare committee. One of their prime studies this interim is around price transparency. The bill, the Minnesota bill and the North Dakota bill are very similar in terms of certain trigger points that require these manufacturers, insurers, and others to report what's going into these prescription drug prices that'll be aggregated. Again, won't in and of that self lower the prescription drug prices, but put pressure on folks to understand that. The second one is we're actively talking to legislators now about drug importation. For the first time in my knowledge, the federal government has authorized or has written a proposed rule that's out for comment right now that would allow currently four states, Megan?
Four,
Vermont,
yes.
Florida, Maine, and Colorado.
Exactly.
Look at that. I
yes.
got them. Have passed a state plan that would allow importation. And so we're saying, and our members are saying, we have this huge Canadian border. Why aren't we allowed to import drugs from Canada without having to use a mail order pharmacy or some of these things? Or better yet, can we import just the prices? Like keep our local pharmacists in business, but allow them to import the prices using some of the trigger mechanism and basing prices off of them.
This is gonna be a loaded question. I think the question that on a lot of people's minds listening right now, and I've only got like 3 minutes, so if we can't get to it, I apologize. But I think that's the bottom line question is, why is it that if I have a prescription in Fargo, it costs me this, but if I were up in Winnipeg, it's gonna cost me something dramatically lower for the same pill? Is there what's the bottom line explanation?
I mean, the bottom line is other countries like Canada have mechanisms in place to put that pressure on those drug prices in a way in which there is nothing currently in U.S. law to do that.
Well, that's exactly what I think we had to get across there. And you guys are putting an effort in. Listeners want to know, how can we help push? What do they got to do?
ARP.org/ND. You'll be able to find more. In addition, if you want it specifically related to the prescription drug work, we're doing ARP.org/RX. Again, that's R as in race and X as in the X, right? As part of it. And then what I would also tell you is if you see our members of Congress, speak out, tell them your story. We can't go anywhere without hearing somebody's personal prescription drug story, whether it's, you know, in my instance, my family's recently had some health challenges and have seen some changes in prescription drugs. And I had a member of my family show me if they would have had to pay out of pocket, what their bill would have been for one prescription drug related to cancer was going to be $9,000 a month. Luckily, he had good insurance that it's costing him $10 a month. But that would have been just astronomical. And who knows, maybe the insurance plan changes and maybe he will be facing that bill down the road. And that's the urgency of doing something today and sharing those stories with our members of Congress. Say what you want about the system being broken, but if you don't share those stories, they don't understand what the problem might be and can at least look for solutions to try and address it.
And we need the Senate to act. That's the House has passed a bill, and it's time for the Senate.
There you go. I'll have more thoughts on that after this KFGO news update. Megan, welcome back to North Dakota. Happy to have you. Hopefully
thank
you come back sometime.
Absolutely.
And the weather doesn't scare you away.
Not
Megan
at all.
O'Reilly, National AARP. Josh, we'll talk again soon, man. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Tyler. Thanks so much.
You bet. AARP, Josh Yasvig, State Director here in North Dakota. Megan O'Reilly with AARP's National Office out of Washington, D.C. Prescription drugs, I'll take your comments, 35270. You can also call the program at 237-594. Let's get you caught up with Jim Monk in that KFGO News Center. I'll give you some thoughts on the Senate, and we'll have the triple play to close out Wednesday's edition of Afternoons Live.